HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, Dr. Kirk Adams will be discussing his work with Access Information. So what can you tell me about your work with Access Information?
Are we recording, or is this just for your information?
No, this is recording.
Oh, okay. Well, sure, Cam. So Access Information News is a weekly publication that really addresses what it says. It's information about accessibility for people with disabilities, disability inclusion. There's a companion newsletter called Top Tech Tidbits, which is very nuts and bolts technology. The Access Information News is a spinoff, and it's more social, political, cultural, medical, and usually about 35 or 40 links to items of interest in each newsletter per week. There's about 45,000 subscribers, and I am a sponsor. I'm Dr. Kirk Adams. I am a managing director of my consulting practice, which is called Innovative Impact LLC, and I'm the immediate past president and CEO of the American Foundation for the Blind, which was Helen Keller's organization. Very proud to have had that opportunity. But I've had a consulting practice for about 3.5 years. I really focus on working with organizations large and small to accelerate inclusion of people with disabilities, primarily in employment. But I've been a weekly sponsor of Access Information News for a couple of years now. So every weekly issue, my Innovative Impact is listed as a sponsor, and then 5 times a year, I'm able to place a larger banner ad to emphasize something of particular interest. And Aaron DeBlasi of MindVault Solutions in Cleveland, Ohio, he publishes Access Information News, Top Tech Tidbits, and I'm also a client of his digital marketing firm, and he manages my website, my podcast, my YouTube channel, blog posts, my monthly newsletter, and all my social media and original content. And he and I guess 9-10 months ago came up with the concept of a media co-op. I have been working on my LinkedIn network for 17-18 years, so I've got 30,000 people on LinkedIn who care about disability inclusion, and I've 5,000 people on Facebook, growing on Mastodon and Twitter or X. And Aaron has a social media presence, and we just thought, let's find some other people who share our passion for accelerating inclusion of people with disabilities in all aspects of society, and let's join forces and getting the word out, and let's have a big impact. So we've created the Persons with Disability Media Co-op, and basically we just share each other's social media platforms. So if anyone in the co-op wants to get out a message across everyone's platforms, which currently will reach about 200,000 people with an interest in disability inclusion, they can do so. Aaron's organization, MindVault, is a nonprofit structure, so really doing this at cost. So for $25, a member of the media co-op can, like I say, get a message out to about 200,000 people.
So I'm curious. You mentioned you have a passion for disability employment issues. What are some of the current trends in accessibility challenges?
Well, first and foremost, people listening probably already know this, but in North America anyway, U.S., Canada, only about 35% of people with significant disabilities are in the workforce. I'm in that group. I'm totally blind. My retina's detached when I was 5 years old, and I became totally blind very suddenly. And I had my own experiences with struggles finding employment after I graduated from college. And the numbers have not improved very, very much over the decades. So it's still a very pernicious problem. And of course, since 35% of us are working compared to 70% of the general population. We have a lot of issues associated with poverty and underemployment and low incomes and lack of assets. So it's a problem that still needs a lot of attention. On the flip side, I'd say two or three things come to mind. First is technology, and the fact that technology gives us access to information and communication in ways that truly weren't possible, say, 30 years ago. So there are jobs that a person with a significant disability can do now that weren't actually possible some decades ago. So anything that has to do with the digital environment that's computerized is fair game. And we have so many more technology tools available to us now. Secondly, is remote work has really become normalized, and I guess that's one of the silver linings from the pandemic, is so many organizations had to go to remote work modalities and make arrangements for their workforce to work remotely. And that has opened up a lot of opportunities. Blindness is kind of my focus area. So at least amongst blind people, when there's research done on what are the greatest barriers to successful employment, the research usually there's two leading causes. Sometimes they switch places. Number one or number two, employer attitudes and transportation. So traditionally, transportation barriers, lack of transportation systems has been a great barrier to employment. So with remote opportunities, some of that has been lessened. And I think the third is AI. That's a double-edged sword. Some people are fearing jobs, significant, very dramatic numbers of jobs are going to be lost because of AI. Other people think it's going to allow us to take on more complex work and have greater impact and more fun doing it with systems of AI tools. So I'd say those are the three: assistive technologies, the advances of assistive technology, the remote work, and AI.
So do you have any advice for a young person out there with a disability? Might be asking the same questions you did. Will I be able to find meaningful employment, or can I contribute to society? How do you keep strong in the face of those things?
Well, I'd say community in one shape, form, or another. So when my retina is detached when I was five, my parents had never met a blind person before I became blind. I'll be 65 in July, so this was in the 1960s. We lived in small towns, not connected with any blind people, any blindness organizations. I did go to school for blind children for first, second, and third grade, then on to public school, and I was always the only blind student in all of my schools. And my parents, it was very much sink or swim and create your own pathway and figure things out. But with the connectivity tools we have now to join in community, to find other individuals, families that are walking the same path or have already walked the same path and have wisdom to share. So I would certainly say reach out. Depending on your disability, whatever organization or association is focused on supporting people with your particular impairment. So blindness and the National Federation of the Blind, American Council of the Blind, the paralyzed veterans, cerebral palsy, you have a search engine, open it up and name your impairment or your physical condition or your disability and write in the name of your town or your state or your province and type in association or society or community, and you will find groups of people who share interests in creating environments for people with your particular set of characteristics to thrive. So I would say connect connect and talk to people, learn from people who have some shared experiences.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
In this segment of our show, Nicole Frisby, Fulton Merez, and Sherry Harvey will be sharing a little bit about their disability ministry experiences. In this segment of our show, we'll hear a little bit about some experiences with disability ministry. So if you could introduce yourselves and tell me a little bit about your experiences with disability ministry, that'd be great.
Hi, my name is Sherry Harvey. I've been doing this since 2003. I've been with the ministry. We started out with our Tuesday night friends, and then I went to help with the day program, went to the day program.
So tell me a little bit about some of the highlights you've experienced in that time.
And camp. I've been at camp since, like, 2004.
So are there some things that stand out to you as wonderful experiences that you like to share?
Learning about Christ and how I got baptized because I thought Christ was important to me at this church, at the church service. So, yeah.
That's wonderful.
I started going to camp because I thought Christ would be good in my life. And making friends, I've made a lot of friends. And tomorrow is my birthday. And I've been with this ministry for a long time. I started with Becky Moore. And I've known her since kindergarten. And her husband.
So, if our other panelist wants to say hello, I'd love to hear.
Yes. My name is Fulton Moraz. I've been with the discipleship a long time. I also been baptized in 2014.
At camp, wasn't it?
Yeah, at camp. So it was a great experience for me, so.
So, with the Easter season just passing us recently, why do you find it's important to have a disability ministry so you can fully participate in being able to engage in times like Easter?
I believe Christ was risen for us because he teaches us stuff to be a good Christian, and how he has also taught us to be good to elders and be good to people with disabilities. And I like helping people with disabilities. And like here's the example. I was at the Y and there was a guy in a wheelchair and he couldn't get the door, so I held the door for him. And he was like, "Derry, thank you."
I love stories like that. I mean, some people just see it as common courtesy, but for the person you helped, you might have left a lasting impression, saying you too were welcome. And
especially since I have a disability, you know, and sometimes it was hard for people, you know, not to think, "Hey, she has a disability. I don't want to be around her." You know, I like that people include me with God. And God has in my heart, you know.
So, if you're comfortable, each of you, I'd love to hear about your unique disabilities.
Yeah. I have an intellectual disability, and I'm also bipolar schizophrenic. So that has, when I was 17, I was like, I don't know how to explain it, I didn't have one until I was 17, and then I had a mental breakdown, which caused me to get an intellectual disability.
And you, Fulton?
I diagnosed with autism, so I've been having autism since I was like 4, I think. So that's why I've been dealing with that, and
high functioning is though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of functioning for
high it. Functioning.
High functioning. So,
How have you found that the ministry has encouraged you to work with the abilities you do have?
Yes.
So are there ways that the ministry has helped you work with the disabilities that you have? How would you say those ways are?
They help. Mm-hmm. Make friends and teach people about God. Put it in other people that don't believe, try to get them to believe in God and Christ.
Trying to read the Bible some more.
Yeah, I read the Bible.
So, do you have anything lined up, anything special on the horizon for the ministry?
Yep. Camp starts June 27, 28, and 29. Huh. And today, we celebrated my birthday. We're a celebration of God.
It's terrific. What sorts of things do you have lined up for the camp this year?
Like, what do we do at camp? Like,
we have lots of activities. We are, of course, going to have our flying squirrel, and we're going to have some really great speakers and possibly some people come back from the past and make some appearances, and so it's going to be wonderful. We're going to have a really good lesson plan this year. It's going to be very exciting.
So when you say people coming back, is there an age restriction on who can participate?
There's not an age restriction, but I'm hoping, and it sounds like maybe our former, I'm thinking Becky and Ed might make an appearance, and they were the founders, and so that's going to be really exciting if they can make it.
That'd be cool. She did a lot for this ministry, except her husband.
This is the 30 years anniversary this year, so I'm hoping for these events they're going to pop in and rejoin us where they haven't necessarily
been. Yeah, because they've been retired.
Yeah. So we're real excited about all the upcoming events and seeing old friends. And
like to thank you all for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Handy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
If you could save a life one day, would you? In Ontario, there are over 1,600 people waiting for a life-saving organ transplant right now. Every 3 days, one of these people will die while waiting. By taking just 2 minutes to register as an organ donor, you can save up to 8 lives and transform 75 more through tissue donation. What you decide to do today has the power to make a lasting impact. Join millions of other registered organ donors in Ontario and give hope to those waiting. Register at beadonor.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, Dr. Kirk Adams told us a little bit about his disability advocacy efforts, and we heard a little bit about a disabilities ministry from Fulton Merez, Nicole Frisby, and Sherry Harvey. In this segment of our show, Robaba Mohammadi will be telling us a little bit about her adaptive arts. So what can you tell me about your adaptive arts?
Yeah? Excuse me?
Can you tell me a little bit about your adaptive artwork?
Yeah. Actually, I wanna say it in Persian, and my sister Shakila, she will translate for you, I think, if you are comfortable.
Yes, that should be fine.
Yeah. من چیزهایی رو با تصویر میکشم، کارهایی میکنم، نقاشیهایی میکشم که گاه اوقات با احساساتم نمیتونم بیانش بکنم یا با احساساتم نمیتونم با کلمات بیان بکنم. مثلا چیزهایی رو که میبینم نمیتونم با کلمات نشان بدم، به خاطر همین توسط نقاشیهایی میخوایم که نشان بدم یا چیزی رو میخوایم با تصویر بکشم. وقتی بیننده میبینه همو برداشتی که من در ذهن دارم، همو چیزی را که در ذهن دارم به تصویر میکشم. وقت بیننده میبینه، این منظور خود توسط هنرم به مردم برسانم.
My artworks are like I paint the things that I am not able to say them in words verbally. When I cannot explain or I cannot talk about my emotions, I just paint them, I try to draw them, and people can understand what do I mean and what do I feel through looking at the portraits.
So, do you use any modified art techniques or equipment? I know you do some mouth painting.
So, I want to answer it in English by myself. Actually, sometimes, most of the time, I'm alone at home. So during the day when I'm painting, because when I'm feeling alone, I'm feeling tired or boring or sometimes. So that's why if I paint, I feel more happy. I feel like I'm not alone. So because most of the time my sister going to school and my brother also going to work. So if I wait for somebody, oh, somebody have to come and put some colors, like because I'm usually using oil color. So if I wait for somebody to put the colors or prepare the brush, that's why it's I can't wait. I actually most of the time I'm so rushed for everything, so that's why I usually use by my mouth, like put the colors, like just take the colors like that, just press with my teeth and put the put the palette, and usually actually the brush, most of the brush, if it's longer, like a little long, it's better for me. But if it's a little short, the brush, my eyes is a little, maybe after 2 or 3 hours, it's paining. Hurts a little my eyes and I can't see properly. That's why most of my brush a little long, but if it's too much long, I can't control it. So, but like something special technique, no, I don't.
So, how has smile played a role in your work?
Actually, because I'm a newcomer and it's 2 years I'm here, so if I came here, most of people didn't know about me, and Smile Canada helped a lot for me because as a newcomer, they helped me a lot. So I joined a lot of programs, and especially Ms. Sakina and Abinaya helped me a lot, and they always show my arts to people, and it's a very good chance for me as a newcomer. When I see somebody, they are more than 10 years here, they are not active like me. It's just 2 years I'm here, but I active a lot, and I joined for a lot of programs that I didn't know about the programs, I didn't know about the other people, other countries, but Smile Canada always show me to a lot of events, a lot of art exhibitions, so they helped me a lot. I'm so happy about that.
So, what's been the greatest success moment or story in Smile's helping you?
So, actually, we had our exhibition, the first exhibition for me, we had that in 11 April.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was the very success chance for me, like because the first time, and the Smile Canada helped me a lot. Without programs, I joined to a lot of programs, and the Smile Canada always rent for some tables for me to programs, to put my artworks there, to sell them. Without that, we had very, very great art exhibition that when I check my videos, my pictures from that day, from the exhibition, oh my God, I feel so happy, and now I'm refreshed, and maybe for 2 or 3 years, maybe I paint very, very powerful, full of energies, because a lot of people came to my exhibition.
So, is there anything else you want
the public to know about adaptive painting and how you do it and why you do it?
Actually, most of people think disabled people are very weak. They can't do anything. They feel like they want to just, like, you know, feeling
they want to have pity for that person.
Like, like that, you know, like they feel like, oh, disabled people, when they are in wheelchair, they can't do anything. They are so weak, though. That's why they, but I want to just say to people, to especially in Canada, I want to just say, disability is not limitation, like, because everyone can do anything, everyone can do everything, like not only painting, they can play guitar, they can play, they can follow, like, makeup, they can follow singing song, you know, everyone. Nothing is just your hand and your feet is not important, but not like, okay, I'm a painter, I have to have my hands, I have to have my feet, I have to walk, then I can paint. No, it doesn't matter. If you want do something, if you don't have hand, you can do with your feet. If you don't have feet, you can do with your mouth. You can do, if you want something, you can do that. So I want to just say to people, please don't think disabled people is weak. They are not weak. So they can do everything.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Just saying, want to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a second, that'd be great.
Okay, I'll stay on the line.
My friends, I've always found it fascinating the ways people can adapt the world around them. Robaba's a great example, using your mouth to create art. It's just an amazing thing, in so much as people don't always look at the ingenuity, the creativity of the process. They like to look at the final product. For the truth is, it is not great art because someone has a disability. It's great art because it is great art. This is true regardless of who created it. For the fact is, people ask, how does this move me? How does this affect my feelings? And for someone with a disability to be able to express that, it's a gift to them and to the community. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. SF Youth Community Radio Station, broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
Cheese please, you're so fine.
You wanna listen all the time. Snarf, dude, and Daffod all spin the hits. It's all cheesy music, they love it to bits. Well, Snarf, dude is the man in the band. Finding cheesy music is his only plan. Daffodil is sugar, but she's also spice. She might be saucy, but she can be pretty nice. All the cheesy music, they can scrounge. You'll hear the favorites in the Limburger lounge. Playing all that is wacky, warped, and weird. Googling cheesy music is not to be feared. Celebrity slip-ups, polka, and more. There's even the stuff on the cutting room floor. There's weird instrumentals, people singing